then looking at how many cancers were initially treated with breast-conserving surgery and then converted to a mastectomy, again, you can see a very large range between units. The white ones are the ones with very small numbers, but the UK average is about 8%, and it ranges from 2 to 14. Mark wants to say something.
I wanted to make a comment sometime about this. I might as well make it now, because it relates to every single one of these slides, that a unit is not a person. And when you're dealing with surgical decisions, you should be looking at an individual surgeon, and you have 500 slots there instead of 90. Take our unit. Our unit serves six hospitals, each of which have got two to three surgeons, and their philosophy will be different. So within each of those bars is a big variation in itself, and that will apply to any actual audit item to do with surgery.
Yeah, but the one point I would make in that regard is that there is safety in having a unit and people working together, and it should be very clear at local level if somebody is an outlier. And what you find, I think, when you look at things is that in general, the units are outliers because there's more than one individual within the unit practicing at the same level, and say preoperative diagnosis rates and things like that, which we're using as surrogate markers for quality, are different across units. And an individual, a surgeon within the unit who leads what's going on there, can absolutely influence what's happening across the whole unit. So I do take your point, but I would also say that in terms of the overall outputs, there's safety in numbers, and you can get reasonable idea. But fundamentally, you are correct. And one of the points I was going to make at the end is that we need to be able to give these individual data to individual surgeons working within the screening program and say, you know, your preoperative diagnosis rate was good or bad or whatever, so that people's own practice can impact then on what they do.
I disagree with that as well, because that's a radiology question. That's that member of the MDTs.
No, Mark. I think this is an important issue, and if we have 5 minutes at the end, we need to discuss it in the context of where this whole process goes from here, because there's a lot of work involved in it, and probably the UK as a whole isn't getting as much out of the whole audit process as it should at the minute. But if I'm looking after a patient with a screen-detected abnormality, and I take the patient to theatre without a preoperative diagnosis, then I am partly responsible for that. You can't say that I'm going to actually do the pre-op biopsy myself, but I as a surgeon can say, hold on a minute here at the MDM, I'm unhappy with this, right? This is my patient, and I don't know whether she has a cancer or not. So in the context of the workings of the unit, the surgeon is a key controller of the preoperative diagnosis rate and the functionality of the program. And one of the ways of improving it is to ensure that that surgeon gets feedback and says, look, you're actually off the curve here, or you're on the curve here, or you're, you know, Joe middle ground, you know, or Joan middle ground. So I do think, you know, what you say is correct in that you can have one person bringing the whole unit down around them because their performance is poor. But at the same time, if you have a good unit, there will be enough collegiality in it to say, well, you know, the left winger isn't very good. We're going to have to get a sub in, or we're going to have to retrain them or do something else.
Michael, I try and act as a referee here, but I think one of the things that has changed, and Jill will attest to this, because in previous years I've had to stand up and defend the mastectomy rates in the Northeast, and thankfully I don't have to do that anymore, but there are still variations in our region with regard to mastectomy rates. So sticking to purely surgical issues as opposed to MDT or radiology related issues, I think what has happened over the last maybe 3 years or so in terms of our regional QA process is that we actually look at individual surgeons, and we ask individual surgeons to justify. Obviously it's too complicated for presentation here, but Jill will tell you that that actually happens on the ground. I can't say what happens
certainly
in other regions, but we'll do that. Our individual surgeons are asked to justify why they appear to be outliers, not necessarily in a critical way, but just to explain why there are outliers. And I think that is happening around the country.
Certainly. I mean, when we get our data, we do screening unit level, we do surgeon level, and when we do on QA visits, we have tables with all of the parameters down for each of the surgeons as well as the unit and the region. And just, I think, in the way that now the audit routinely shows things by breast screening unit, it certainly is possible to show variations for surgeons. So for some key critical things that we think are important, we could start to show you the variation. But actually, the graphs are probably going to look very like this, and we're just going to say there is a huge variation between surgeons. So my feeling is that it's probably better to do that at the regional level. And as long as the regional QA teams are really starting to dig down now into each of the units and look at the various people, then I think that's probably the level that we ought to stick at, screening unit level, where, you know, there is still a huge variation that we can show you.
Could I ask one quick question, please? It's in relation to what you just said.
Hi. It's a very interesting discussion, but when we're talking about breast-conserving surgery or mastectomy decisions, perhaps the key person is not the surgeon, it's the patient. Patients have preconceived ideas, and they come with those, and our job as surgeons or health professionals is to guide them to the best decision that suits them. So if we start looking at people's pattern of work in terms of breast-conserving surgery or mastectomy, where they are not the one who makes the final decision, then perhaps that would be unfair on surgeon. And that's something which we should consider and somehow take into consideration when collecting these data. If patients choose to have mastectomy, then there's a way that or that information should be collected in the NHSBC audit. Thank you.
Yes, another question. Sorry, we have one at the front and then one down the back. Yep. Sorry, I don't know.
It's Ursula. I just wanted to ask the gentleman over there, when the audit shows that certain surgeons or practices are underperforming, you say that, you know, that they're identified and haven't spoken with. But what then happens after these, you know, you've spoken with the surgeons? Does any action happen? Is a recovery plan or...?
Thank you. I didn't deliberately use the word underperforming because that is not necessarily the case. Obviously, the argument about, for instance, mastectomy rates or any surgical issue that you would care to look at, there are two sides to the argument, and obviously the only defining factor at the end of the day is whether people have recurrence or have actually been a satisfactory oncological outcome. I think from a practical point of view, we ask individual people to comment, we ask them to look at their cases, we ask them to verify the data, and then we have a meeting where all this is discussed openly among colleagues. And obviously, if that pattern repeats itself, well then it's addressed both directly with the individual or through the QA visit. So there's a very rigorous process that has taken, as Jill has outlined, it's perhaps gets a little bit more complicated the more you put on for a meeting like this, but it does happen on a regular basis.
We've got one at the back, thanks.
Hi, Mr. Modi from Lincoln. We have two units in Lincolnshire. One is South Lincolnshire and the one is North Lincolnshire. The basic
you did like Celtic and Rangers, no?
Sorry?
Like Celtic and Rangers, no?
Probably so. our mastectomy rates in North Lincolnshire, where we have our radiotherapy unit based, is very, very low because basically the patients don't have to travel a lot. In South Lincolnshire is one of the places where we have very high mastectomy rates. The patient in Boston area has to travel minimum of 2 hours, 2.5 hours every day for the radiotherapy, and our mastectomy rates in South Lincolnshire are far higher than the mastectomy rates in North Lincolnshire. Not because we practice dramatically differently, but purely because the distance the patient has to travel.
We have the same problem in the west of Ireland. We built a radiotherapy hostel through philanthropic support to actually put people up, but I think that's one of the things that you may.
So my question to Jill was, if the units that were actually, you know, way outliers, because I know South Lincolnshire almost certainly will be, you can actually check what is their distance to the radiotherapy centre,
yep,
and whether that makes
the
any difference.
The next question, which we lead on to now, is there a very high immediate reconstruction rate in South Lincolnshire, which I suspect there probably isn't. Okay, now, Jill, if you show us the
next. So if we have the next question, can we?
Yep.